Herz 87.9.
22 Vorträge aus 16 verschiedenen Disziplinen. Auf der Studierendenkonferenz, die anlässlich des 50-jährigen Jubiläums der Uni Bielefeld im letzten Jahr stattgefunden hat, da durften 40 NachwuchswissenschaftlerInnen unserer Uni ihre Forschung präsentieren. Und 4 dieser Vorträge konnte Herz 87.9 für euch aufzeichnen und kann sie euch nun endlich präsentieren. In dieser Folge hört ihr den Vortrag von Leonie Dürkop aus der Anglistik zu dem Thema Screaming in Fear – Gender, Family and Identity in Slasher Movies. Viel Spaß!
Yeah, I want to talk to you about gender, family and identity in slasher movies, and I would also like to start by briefly explaining why I'm even talking about this. How did I decide to actually work on this topic? And that came about because I was watching some slasher movies just to see what they were like, because everyone kept talking about it and I just wanted to see what it was about. And I soon realized that there is nothing to them, actually. They don't really have a plot. It's just blood and screaming, and there's really nothing they don't really have substance. And so I asked myself, why are slasher movies popular in the first place? Why do we watch them, and why do we accept this exploitation of specifically female characters that we can see in them? And so I started to look into a couple of different movies and then decided to work on the topic more. For this specific talk, I'm going to focus on 2 different versions of the movie Halloween. The first movie I'm going to focus on is the original movie from 1978. That started the franchise, and then I'm also going to focus on the first reboot of the movie that came out in 2007. And I'm also briefly going to explain what it's actually about, because I'm not sure if everyone really knows what the plot is, and there are also some differences between them. Basically, the story follows the serial killer Michael Myers that you can see in the pictures, and he basically escapes prison and goes on a murder spree in a town on the 31st of October. So that's why it's called Halloween. And we get to know Laurie, a young teenager that is babysitting for a family, and a couple of her friends are nearby that are also babysitting in different households, and they have to deal with Michael Myers, and most of them will get killed off. That's the basic plot of both of the movies. However, the 2007 version of the movies is slightly different, and I'm just going to say something about that here, just so that you are aware. The 2007 movie gives us much more the story of Michael Myers, and not so much the story of Laurie. We get to know Michael Myers as a young boy, like he's seen in the picture here, and we see him murder his family, his mother, his older sister, and his stepfather. We see him get institutionalized, basically, because it is very clear that he murdered the family, and he gets arrested. And we also learn that in the 2007 version, and only the 2007 version, Laurie, the female protagonist of the movie, is actually his baby sister that he did not murder and that instead got adopted. And that's the basic plot outline. Try to keep that in mind. I'm probably going to say some things about different aspects of the movie later on. So now we come to the actual part of what I'm actually doing here. And to understand the slasher movies better, I decided to look at the historical context in which they were produced. And that's precisely what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a little bit of information about the political and social context in which these movies kind of came about. And I'm going to start with the 1978 version, and to know how those movies came about, I think we need to go back to the 1950s, actually, and briefly remind ourselves that in the 1950s, there was a very specific ideal for women. Women were supposed to be housewives, they were supposed to be devoted to their husband, to their house, and to their children. They were caretakers, and were supposed to do not much else. And that was combined with the middle class basically being the status quo, the thing that was to be desired. You, middle class was the standard in a way. And then as the as time progressed, we moved on into the 60s, where a dissatisfaction of this female ideal form came about, and women more and more found that this this way of life is not satisfying to them, and it is not fulfilling, and bringing about an identity crisis within women in the USA, which then in turn led to them challenging basically patriarchy as a political system, and questioning female dependence on male rule, basically. Yeah, what we would describe as feminism, probably. And so there was a destabilization of previously unquestioned social norms, which was scary, probably, to live in. And that's the context in which the first Halloween movie was produced. And now I would like to present to you a couple of things that I've noticed, yeah, while watching the movie and reminding myself of these things, basically. All right. What we can see a lot during those movies are houses as symbols, and they, we see neatly kept nice houses with a yard and a picket fence and the middle class ideal, basically. That's why I took these houses as a symbol for this ideal standard of the 50s that I've described earlier. And the movies also take that as a status quo, as a thing that you are supposed to adhere to. And then we see these houses that symbolize all of that get invaded by carelessness. We see Annie getting murdered. That's a friend of Laurie's who's also babysitting. She's getting murdered in a house because she left the door open, basically. But also on the symbolic level, Annie abandons the child she takes care of. She basically does not work in the structures that she's supposed to work in. She is not caring. She is not subscribing to the family standards. And the same we see with Linda and Bob, two other friends that are seen having sex in the bed of the parents of the house that they are currently in. They are also not complying with the idea for family. They have sex before marriage. They abandon the children that are supposed to be in their care. And that's why they are getting murdered, because they allow corruption and evil into the space of the family and do not comply with what is expected of them. They allow an evasion of the physical and metaphorical space, basically. We can look at the characters, specifically Annie and Laurie, that also continue this line of thought, because Laurie is the girl that survives in the end, and she is constantly seen performing femininity in an expected way. She takes care of the child, she is seen cooking, she protects the children that she works with, while Annie, as I said, abandons the child. She's constantly seen failing at typically female household tasks. She can't cook, she can't wash, and she's willing to engage in sex outside of marriage. And so Annie symbolizes the bad feminine behaviors by challenging heteronormative standards that are expected of her, while Laurie does not do that, and she is the one that is allowed to continue living and surviving. Furthermore, we've got the ending of the movies. That's also very, very interesting, because, as I said, Laurie is surviving the attacks of Michael Myers, but she's not the one that defeats Michael Myers. That is, Michael Myers is defeated by Dr. Loomis, a character that is basically completely unimportant for the entire rest of the movie. He just lets us know that Michael Myers broke out of prison, and that's all he does, basically, until the very end, when in the last second he sweeps in and shoots Myers while Laurie is sitting on the ground screaming, basically. In a way, the patriarchal power structure is established again as a solution to this corruption, because in the end it's not the female character that we have spent a lot of time with that defeats the evil, but a male character instead. Yeah, this metaphor of evil and corruption continues also with the fact that Michael Myers is not actually dead in the end. We see him fall out of a window and we suspect he's dead, but he's not. He disappears, and we then kind of know that evil is still out there. Evil is still there, ready to attack at any point, and we need to be careful with how we act and what we do. And we can also observe that within the camera work of this specific movie, because we have a lot of point of view characters that level us with Michael Myers. We are stalking and watching the victims of the movie. We become Michael Myers, and it's really creepy and unsettling to actually see that. And that kind of sets it up as if we are, like, this potential to invade and destabilize society is within us, the audience, and we need to be cautious of that. Yeah, just as a side note, there's also a much greater focus on the faces of the victims. We don't actually see all that much blood in there, and I'm sure even in the 70s they could have shown you more blood, but they don't. We see faces because this is about mental consequence and incomprehensible evil. Okay. I'm sorry if I'm maybe a bit quick, but that's it for the 1978 version of it. Now I would like to continue with the 2007 version of the movie. First of all, I give you again the historical or social background. The 2007 movie came out shortly after the attacks of the 9th of September, which, of course, as we all know, was a situation of great national trauma for the USA. There was it brought about a disturbance of the general understanding of the country's place in the world. It was the first time that there was a real threat within the USA, basically right in front of their doors. It disturbed national identity and the trust in the safety of their own country greatly. And there was also a loss of trust in state and national institutions, because obviously they were not helping with these attacks, and they still happened. This time was kind of structured by a great need in the USA, at least, to reestablish trust in society, to rebuild all this loss of confidence that had happened. And that's the slightly different context in which the second movie came about, and I'm going to do the same thing now and just tell you about a few of my observations. So, the most notable difference is that there is a hell of a lot of backstory. The majority of the runtime of this movie is made up by letting us know what happened to Michael Myers. We get to see his family in which he grew up, which is an abusive and toxic family. He has a stepfather that is hitting his mother and that is constantly being mean and abusive to all the children in the family. And we see Michael Myers be violent not only against animals but also, of course, his own family, because he in the end murders his family except for his baby sister. And this sets up that this evil within Michael Myers comes as a result of his upbringing, of his family, because it has been there from childhood on. This works well with this need to re-establish, basically reason behind evil, because we now see that evil has an explanation. This violence does not just happen because, but there is a cause to it that we can get to. We also see Michael Myers receive treatment in a way. He gets into therapy, basically, but we see it not working. They don't get through to him, which mirrors this loss in the in trust in official institutions, just like it happened in reality, basically, after 9/11. So that's the most notable difference. What is a little bit similar is still the house as a symbol. We still have those nice middle class houses that are still a symbol for the same thing, basically, family values and middle class standards and heteronormative expectations. So that's still something that we can count on that is still present even years after the first movie came out. But now we get that directly contrasted by the old house of the Myers family in which Michael Myers grew up in. And we see this house is kind of gray and rotting and falling apart. And that not only establishes poor patchwork families as rotten and problematic because they don't adhere to this middle-class standard that has been set up, but it also visualizes the corruption from which Michael Myers comes, and once more shows that there is that we can find corruption within our society. Yeah, as for the characters in this movie, we get to know Laurie a little bit better. Laurie is the same character more or less. She still lives in a loving middle class family and survives the end of the movie, and that's interesting, I think, because she came, of course, from the same family as Michael Myers, but she turns out all right. So this puts an emphasis on socialization over the birth family, which I find incredibly interesting, and it helps to establish the middle class family or family in general as an institution that can still be trusted. Family is the thing that is going to make it okay again, because it can outweigh evil and instability. And last but not least, it's also once again about camera work, because camera work has changed a lot since the original movie. In this movie, we don't have those point of view shots that I mentioned before, but instead we have low camera angles, kind of close to the ground, and it is the camera is shaking a lot, and that levels us with the victims, actually, and the victims are what we are meant to identify with. I think it kind of helps to realize this fear after the attacks of 9/11 and this realization that we all can be victims in a way. There's also a much stronger focus on blood and gore. We don't really see the mental consequences in the faces of the victim, but instead we see crime scenes. We see the blood spraying all over the place. And I think that this is because in the real world, I'm going to say, for lack of a better term, the mental state has become very unstable, and this cannot also be emphasized in movies to not further destabilize it. And so instead, the movies try to destabilize the body and deconstruct the body. What have I seen here, basically? So both the movies establish heteronormative family discourses as the desired standards. A compliance with this will bring stability and survival, and a deviance from it will bring doom and death, and will basically be the downfall of society. This makes slasher movies a part of a social mechanism that reinforces and establishes power structures. The movies realize that in different ways. The slasher movies in the 1970s create horror by letting an unexplainable pure evil invade the suburban American household as a reaction to the destabilization of previously unquestioned family and identity structures that came about with the feminist movement of the 1960s, while the movies in the 2000s, which are in a different context, of course, they reconstruct identity and family structures and instead create horror through a deconstruction of the body as a reaction to a constant confrontation with the incomprehensible threats after 9/11. So that's basically what I took from that. And I think it's very interesting to see how this continues, because we are currently also in a unstable political and social situation. And there was already a reboot last year of the Halloween franchise again. And so I think it would be very interesting to see what the movies do in our context right now. And yeah, that's basically it. Thank you for your attention.